Let's pray before we get into the Word. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now. I ask that you would give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. We thank you that the eyes of our understanding are being enlightened this morning. We thank you that you're revealing to us the hope of your calling and the glorious inheritance that you have for us as your saints, your called out ones, in the name of Jesus. I just thank you that you use my tongue as the pen of the ready writer, speaking forth and writing forth the oracles of God on men's hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we had some discussion where we're talking about expectations. And so, you know, you've got your yellow sheet, your expectations. Maybe that'll help you with your own expectations because they don't have to be big and long and drawn out. If you need more of that or you don't have one, we can get you one after service. But expectations, talking about expectations. You know, I've heard people say, well, winter's coming, better go get your flu shot. Well, why? Because you're expecting you to get the flu. I have nothing against flu shots and people getting vaccinations and stuff. California is the most extreme case, I think, in the United States as far as required vaccinations. But if you go and get a flu shot, hey, good, get your flu shot. I'm just saying, what's the expectation? To avoid the flu, right? You know, and I was reading because our son has had a cold twice this year already, and I got online and I looked, and an article on WebMD said that children ages 6 to 12 can get up to 6 to 12 infections a year. A year. What's all that inside, I think? You know, because one study, you know, because the kids are inside in school and they lick and they touch and they cough and they sneeze and then they touch everybody they know and, you know, it's just because they're kids. And then it's on their desk and then they get up and somebody else comes and sits at their desk and they get, you know, it's a good thing gum isn't allowed in school because, you know, you reach under your desk and you touch somebody else's gum, you're like, ew, what's that, you know, but they're kids. And, you know, they're inside. You know, one of the greatest antibiotics that they have found actually is dirt. Did you know that the more time kids spend in dirt, the healthier they are? Yeah, they might not look good all the time. You know, they can't always look like Cinderella and Prince Charming. You know, I laugh because it used to be before we had kids, I always think, you know, doesn't that mother, couldn't she have combed that child's hair and washed their face before they left? And then you have kids and you realize it's just what happens in the car seat. You know, they rub the back of their head and their hair sticks up and static everywhere. And, you know, they rub their nose and get snot and everything. They've got some sort of a treat, you know, the goldfish. And then that just leaves a trail all over their faces, too. It's good, you know, when you finally get some information and understand why kids look the way they do everywhere they go. Well, we started last week and I talked about Job. And I just want to add some clarity to Job, okay? I've got a couple things here. In everything that Job suffered, his wife told him at one point, and it's Job chapter 2, she says, well, why don't you just curse God and die? So what did they think the curse, what was the result of cursing God be? Death. What was Job afraid of? Job was afraid that his children would have cursed God, so he'd go out and he'd make sacrifices for them every day in case they cursed God. What was he afraid of? His children dying, right? Ultimately, though, what is the story about? Who's the story about? It's about Job and his relationship with God. Is it about his children? Can you save your children for them? I can't say, we do our best, but if she grows up and moves out, and on her own, and she walks away from the Lord, can I force her back?
No.
Can God force her back?
No.
If God could force us to get saved, we'd all be saved. We'd all be serving him, right? But he can't. It's not up to him. It's up to us. We have free will. We need to pray for our children, right? We pray for our children every night. I pray for my children. Kathy prays for our children. It is not... I can't be saved for them, though. Right? I mean, I can give an example of what I should do. Right? The story is not about, the destruction and the things that happened to Job. so much as it is about Job's life and how he comes around and realizes, and James 5 says, look to the end of Job, how he was blessed. That's our admonition. Do you know that the criteria for being a book in the Bible is that you have to be referenced in the New Testament letters? That's like one of the major criteria. So why is Job in the Bible? Because he's referenced by Job, by James. We can go back and we can look at Job. And Job is quite possibly listed in the genealogy of one of the sons of Noah. Is Job. So he's post-Noah, but he's got no revelation. There's no mention of Moses or the law. So he's pre-Moses. So there's no revelation, no real revelation of God for Job. So Job is trying, and he's doing the very best he can. He's post-Noah, pre-Moses, listed in the genealogy of Noah's sons, who go out and become part of the nations of the world. This is ultimately looking at his end result. And what is our focus supposed to be on Job? Is it about the devil? Is it about what happens to his children? It's about the end. The last chapter of the book of Job is our admonition, how God, when he had a revelation of God, he said, I had heard about you, but now I've seen you. To see something is to have a revelation on it. Right? You've heard about blueberry cream cheese pie. But until you see it, you don't know what it looks like. Right? You think, well, maybe it's just got a crust over the... It doesn't. Oh, it's beautiful. And you cut into it, and it's, oh, it's just layers of beautifulness. The end result of Job is then when he gets a revelation of God, he prays for his friends. And because he prays for his friends, God restores to him double what the devil took from him. God didn't take it from him. The devil did. He's restored double. And he lives another 140 years. Come on, with double. He was increased. He flourished. As a result of having revelation of God, he flourished, he increased, and he grew. Okay? So moving on from Job. Expectations. One day there's this man, and he's just about the only righteous person left on the entire planet. His name is Noah. God comes to him and speaks to him. No, it wasn't rock giants. You can't believe anything hardly at all that comes out of Hollywood. Okay, I'm just telling you, that's not an accurate depiction. It's fun, but it might as well be Star Wars. Okay, or Transformers. I can say that because Josiah's not here, and he won't get upset. God told him that he was going to flood the earth, and he was going to save him, Noah, and his family, and start over with them, because sin had so filled the earth. Is that story about the destruction that came on the wicked, or is it about Noah and his family?
Noah
and his family. Why? Because Noah was righteous. God continued the righteous lineage of Noah's family into the earth. Do we have any idea of whether or not Noah believed God? Yes. He actually had a great expectation. How do we know that? Because God said, I'm going to flood the earth, build an ark. These are the dimensions. This is how you do it. And what did he do? He built the ark. So what was his expectation? His expectation was, God said something was going to happen. God said something's going to be a certain way. And he believed him. We have the word of God that we can build our expectations on. If he says something here, you can expect it. And you should. Expect it. John 3:16. Can anybody tell me what it says? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Do you have everlasting life because you believed on him?
Yes.
Yes. If you should die before the end of days, where are you going?
Heaven.
If you should go through the end of days, where are you going when it's over? What's your expectation? Heaven! Our expectation is to be with him for eternity, right? Okay. Praise the Lord. Joseph, whose name means Jehovah will add or increase. Joseph, his name means Jehovah will add or Jehovah will increase. Was sold into slavery by his brothers, persecuted by his owners, put in prison for false accusations, left behind and lied about by his cellmates, gets a seat with the king at his right hand because he's still close to God. Who did all those horrible things to Joseph? People. People did it. His brothers were jealous because Joseph had a dream that his life was going to be good. What was Joseph's expectation about his life? It was going to be good. Was it all good? No, he went through some hell before he got some good, didn't he? Yeah? Did he increase? He did. He increased. Not only did he increase, he became like the co-regent of Egypt. He was literally seated at the right hand of Pharaoh. And he had the power and authority of Pharaoh in all the land. Do you think that's increase? Yes, it is. Do you think Joseph was flourishing in the land? Yes, he was. He had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Joseph, when his father Israel, who was born Jacob, was getting ready to die, he blessed not Joseph, but his two sons. Joseph got a double inheritance that way in the tribes of Israel through his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. How? Because instead of him getting one portion, his sons got two portions. They got double for all his trouble. I just like that. It whacks poetic, doesn't it? Double for your trouble. You know, with double mint gum or whatever. What is that? Double. When they came out of the land of Egypt, Joseph's sons each got an inheritance. Their family, their house, their dynasty received an inheritance, each of them, with the oldest brothers. They received. They flourished in their land. Moses was born a servant, grew up in the house of Egypt, adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. All his life, his expectation was what? To be a Pharaoh, to be a leader in Egypt, to be wealthy, to have command of armies. Did he? Not the way he thought. He chose rather to suffer with his fellow Israelites. He was 40 years old when he left. He was another 40 years older when he came back. He was 80. Is 80 a good time to get started with the plan of God? Yeah! If that's when God puts it in you, that's when it's time to start. Is God afraid of your age?
No.
Is it too late to have an expectation no matter how old you are?
No.
Moses was 80. He's now going to be the leader of the entire nation of Israel. After 40 years in the wilderness, he comes. He gets to be the head of the nation of Israel. God uses him more than any other person. Gives him the law and the commandments. Has him to write down the oral traditions passed down since before Abraham. Reveals to him the heavenly tabernacle. And says, now build it here on earth. That's a pretty great plan, huh? So in effect, he did become a king, didn't he? He did become a ruler. One of the greatest nations still in this world, with a lifetime, with thousands of years of history. How many years of history does America have? Yeah, it depends on how far back you want to go. You know, 200-300 years around that is a real point, because you know people started coming over here in the 1400s. You know, 15. I did genealogy on my mom's side of the family. I think somebody came here 1566. I know we're young. Israel, however, thousands of years, right? It is never too late and never too early to have an expectation. Moses believed that God would do what he said he would do. He took his staff, he went to the Pharaoh, who used to be his brother. Come on. And commanded that his people be let go, his people be set free. Do you know an interesting fact in the releasing of the children of Israel from Egypt? Do you know what the Egyptians did? They gave them everything. They paid them to get out. They gave them gold and jewels and wealth, animals. Here, take it. Just leave. Don't kill any more of our people. Well, they hadn't done it. Did you know that many Egyptians put blood of lambs over their doorposts and were saved too? Anybody who believed could do that. It's for everybody. Right? 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. Their sandals never wore out. Is that prospering? Come on, if your shoes don't wear out. I had a pair of boots I kept for 20 years. I was walking through Safeway a couple weeks ago. Sole fell off while I was walking through Safeway. I mean, that's not 40 years, but I mean, 20 is pretty good out of one pair of boots, right? You know what I'm saying? Come on.
All the ones you have on.
Oh, these are just 3 years old. No, those were hiking boots. I got a new pair to replace those. Ooh, and I like them. David was anointed by God to be king while he was just a boy. What was his expectation? To be king. He was anointed by the prophet to become king. Where did he spend much of the next 2 decades? On the run from the current king. Right? Why? Because he was afraid. He was tormented. Because he was disobedient to God. David actually had an opportunity to kill Saul. He said, no, I'm not going to touch God's anointed. It was under King David that the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom become united. David's one of the greatest kings in all history. How did he start? He was a shepherd. What did he have? Stink. He's a shepherd. He's got stink. He's out with the stinky sheep out in the dirt. But his expectation was he'd been anointed to become king. He knew he'd become king. What did he go through on the way there? Hell. I mean, Saul wanted to kill him. Mary. Sweet young Mary. Her expectation was she was just going to marry this guy, Joseph, the carpenter. Angel comes and visits and says, you're going to have a child. She says, how can that be? I'm not even married. She said, well, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and you'll be with child. You shall call his name Jesus, or Yeshua, for he shall save his people. Yeshua means salvation. God is Savior. God saves. Mary, did you know? Yeah, she knew. She knew he was going to be the Savior. That's why she named him Jesus, Yeshua, because she knew. What was her new expectation? Young girl, 15 years old. She's going to be the mother of the Savior of the world. Did she suffer a little persecution? Yeah, her husband-to-be was going to put her out, send her away. Angel visited him. Expectation. He's not my son by nature, but he's my son and I'm going to raise him. And he's going to be the Savior of his people. Come on, that's a heavy burden. To know that your child is going to be the Savior, to know that your child is destined for greatness, and to raise that child, and to be responsible for that child. The expectation placed upon you. Expectations. What are our expectations for our lives? Is it just to barely get by? Yeah, oh, come on, you're going to have some days where it's just barely getting by. You know, I mean, you're going to get up, you're going to wake up, and you're going to go, I just don't think I can do it again today. Oh, God, give me strength and help me. And you get up, and you put on your fuzzy slippers, and you go out and you get your coffee, and you just thank God. You thank him that no matter what it is you're going through today, that you have him. Amen. Because your expectation is he's going to save you. That's he's right. going to help you. Right. He's going to be your strength and your comfort in time of need. Right. Stir up your faith. What's he done for others, will he do for you? If he saved somebody else's marriage, if you're both willing to work on it, can he save yours too? Listen, Sarah was barren, right? Rebecca was barren. Rachel was barren. All were married to the founding fathers of our faith and were barren. But they believed God, and what happened? They had children. Trusting God in our barrenness, in our inability to bring forth, is what causes us to develop an expectation that he who said he would do it is faithful. If he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. If he says he's going to heal you, you're healed. If he says he's going to take care of your marriage, he's going to take care of your marriage. He's going to take care of your children. But we have to trust him. Our expectation has to be in him. We can't be Job going out trying to save our children. God only can save our children. Be in faith, not fear. Be in faith for expectations. Do you expect that you'll go in and you'll eat the good of the land? That's the promise. I'm going to take you to a land overflowing with milk and honey. You just have to be obedient. Yeah, there's going to be giants in the land. But trusting God is worth it. Yeah, you're going to have to go through some battles. But who always fought the battle for them? The Lord did. Go out and march around the city of Jericho 7 times. What? Come on. What did they do? They marched around the city of Jericho 7 times. Right? What happened? The walls came down. What was their expectation? That God was going to take the city for them. All they had to do was go out and walk around the city, blow the shofar, go home and have dinner. Right? 7 days. Oh, come on. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Is this helping you?
Yes.
Man, I'm telling you what, this helps me. Because sometimes, some days, some weeks, speaking of, some days, sometimes, some weeks, the other side of the building here is dried out. It only took a week and a half. It only took a week and a half, and now we're working on finding someone to fix the, put up new drywall, and we're going to paint that. I understand that somebody might like the color, but we're going to go with a more neutral color than, huh? it's a cave. Mark chapter 5. Now that you're in Mark chapter 5, look to verse 25. I just love this story because there's so much good stuff here. Mark 5:25. A woman suffering from bleeding for 12 years had endured much under many doctors. She had spent everything she had and was not helped at all. Come on. She spent all that she had and she wasn't any better. For 12 years, she had an issue of bleeding. I always wondered what this was, and we were talking to Doreen, the preschool director. Her daughter has a mild form of hemophilia. What's bleeding? You get a cut, you bleed. Can you imagine? 12 years this woman had an issue of bleeding. She went to all kinds of doctors, and she wasn't any better, and she was broke. One's like the $600 EpiPen. Right? On the contrary, she actually got worse. Verse 27. Having heard about Jesus, what do you think she'd heard? He was the healer. He healed people. People would come to him and they would get healed. Lepers got healed. The blind got healed. Dead were raised. That's significant. When she'd heard about Jesus, having heard about Jesus, she came in behind him in the crowd and touched his robe. For she said, now we could say, for her expectation was. For she said, because of her expectation, because she had heard about him, if I can just touch his robes, I'll be made well. That word well just means healed, not sick anymore. Right? That's what that means. Instantly, her flow of blood ceased. What was her expectation? She'd be healed. What did she get? Healed. And she sensed in her body that she was cured of her affliction. Healed. At once, Jesus realized in himself that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my robes? Right? Have you ever been to a concert? And there's like people everywhere. Or Disneyland. And you're waiting in line. People have no sense of personal space. I'm just saying. Peter Pan, you're waiting in line for Peter Pan. No sense of personal space. Who touched my robes? His disciples said to him, you see this crowd pressing against you, and you say, who touched me? I mean, come on. I mean, if you're standing in line, at least you know when the person back behind you bumped into you, you knew it was them, and you could go, uh-huh. You know? Because we all do that. It's like, really, that's like the third time, okay? You know? So he was looking around to see who had done this. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came with fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. What did she tell him? Well, I'd heard about how you were going around and you were healing people. And I've had this bleeding for 12 years. I'm broke. I mean, I've spent every penny I have on it. And not only am I not any better, I'm just worse off now. What would be one of the ways you're worse off in that case? You have spent everything. You have nothing left. You know what I'm saying? Daughter, he said to her, my faith, Peter's faith, John's faith, the Holy Spirit moved upon you by his faith. Whose faith? Her faith. Your faith. Your expectation. Remember what we talked about? Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things expected. Faith brings into reality what you're expecting. What's your hopeful expectation? It is the foundation for what we believe. Our foundation is John 3:16. He loved me. He came for me. I'm going to be with him. Her expectation, if I can touch him, I'll be healed. Expectation. Faith is the expectation. Hebrews 11:1. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be free from your affliction. Go in peace. Go in shalom. Go in wholeness. Go in wholeness. Her faith healed her. She was made whole from her disease. It was gone, her expectation. What is your expectation? What is my expectation? What are we expecting as Christians? Are we expecting merely to gather together on Sunday mornings? Is that an expectation?
No.
It's just a plan, right? What is your expectation as a believer? Is your expectation that God's going to use you? That he's going to help you, That he's going to be there for you? That he's going to heal you? That you're going to flourish while you're in the land? Yes. Expect to flourish while you're in the land. Expect God to work for you. Expect God to be there for you. Expect God to help you when you're going through trouble. Expect him to. Find scriptures that relate to what you're going through. Man, I'm telling you what, right here, if you need healing, you don't have to wait for the elders to come lay hands on you. You don't have to call 18 of your closest friends and start a prayer chain. I have a cold. I need 18 people praying for me. No! You need to have some faith. Come on. I pulled a muscle in this arm yesterday, in this shoulder. Man, and it hurts. You know? And so I was thinking, man, that hurts really bad. What did I do? And I'm like, wait a minute, Isaiah 53, for he himself bore my afflictions. He took my pain. I don't have to be in pain. So every time I move it and it hurts, I say, thank you, Jesus, that you took my pain. You know what? No pain. What's my expectation? My expectation for my children is that they're going to grow up and they're going to serve the Lord. What's my expectation for our marriage? That we're going to live long together in the land. That we're going to flourish. Even when we're not getting along. Because when you're married, that happens. It happens. But what's your expectation? What are you going to do about when you're not getting along? You're going to force yourself to be nice. You're going to force yourself to do what's right. Because your expectation is, and we said this before we ever got married, when we're married, divorce will never come up as a topic. It's never a debatable issue. It's never something that's on the table. She might kill me, and she probably have right to. But divorce is not an option. This is what one of the things, like when I say about dating, because, you know, Faith is 13. No dating. Just say no to dating. What does dating do? Well, I'm dating this person in 8th grade and this person in 9th grade, and at the end of each relationship, you break up. What does that teach you as a pattern for relationships? Breaking up, baby. Breaking up. Yeah, I know, not everybody likes my theology on that. But you don't have to. Nobody's forcing you to. It's my theology. And it's Faith's. Right, honey? She's 13, she still agrees with Daddy a lot of the time. Now, when Kathy and I, we didn't actually date. I was in Teen Challenge, and I was praying. Excuse me. And I was praying, and the Lord gave me an image of a woman. She doesn't have dark hair now, but, you know, all of the older pictures do. a dark-haired Hispanic woman working in a medical-type office. I didn't know her. But I'm praying for her. And I'm praying for her family. And I was praying that they'd live far away so we wouldn't have to divide holidays. Because I didn't want to do that. And when I came home on one of my breaks from Teen Challenge, we met, and then she sent me, because she was sending everybody else cards, it was for Christmas. They had a box in church where everybody could put a Christmas card, and they put them in alphabetical order by last name. And then Kathy thought, well, I don't want anybody not to get a card. She said, well, and then there's David, and he's in Teen Challenge. And what if he doesn't get another Christmas card? So she sent me a Christmas card. And long kind of story short is we met at church, and we're just like, I was there for a meeting, and there was a woman sitting in front of me, and the Lord said, she's in front of you. And I was like, she was sitting there with her cousin Tina, and they're both Mexican, and they both have dark hair. I'm like, well, which one? And we met, and we just kind of knew. And I came to church that Sunday, and she looked down and she saw my shoes, and she said, the Lord told her, those are what? Those are the feet of your husband. Did we date? Kathy'd never even really dated. She was, at this point, you were 27? She was 27 years old. She'd never dated. She'd had one boyfriend. She had one boyfriend. But she was leaving it all up to God. What was her expectation then if she's leaving it all up to God? You know what she told him? If I'm not married by the time I'm 30, we don't ever have to discuss it again. I'll just, you know, I'll be single and I'll be happy with it. We got married in April of 1999. She turned 30 in October of the same year. You know? But her expectation was she was going to get married. And if it didn't happen by a certain age, she was leaving it in God's hands. Was she trying to find Mr. Right? No, she was leaving that up to God, wasn't she? Right? I didn't know anything. What did I know? I've been a drug addict. You know what I'm saying? Drug addicts don't know anything. As a former one, I can attest to that. Okay. The one with the issue of blood, it was her faith that made her whole. Your faith, your expectation, can make you whole. Your faith, your expectation, can lead your life. And it will, one way or the other. If you expect to just go from one lousy, low-paying job to the next and just barely be able to get needs met for your family, that's what you'll have. You're not going to achieve greater than that. If your expectation is that God's going to provide for you, that he's your provider, that he's going to give you jobs and better jobs, that you're going to go into the land and you're going to prosper in the land in which he sends you, then you will prosper. What does prosper mean? It just means having more than you need. We're at Rhema. Bills paid, gas in the car, food on the table, $3 in our bank account. Did we have everything we needed? Did we have above what we needed? Yeah. Well, that was our first feeling. That was our first time of being prosperous when we were in school. I mean, we were going to school full-time, working, each of us working part-time. That was pretty good. You know what I'm saying? We were prospering. We came back. You know what God did? He got me an amazing job with the Salvation Army. Made more money than I'd ever made before. Then we went through times of lack. But every time, no matter where we were, it was always God we were putting our expectation in. God we were putting our faith in. God we were putting our belief in. I tell you again, the greatest prayer ever prayed for us, I really believe this, was when we went to Rhema, and we like to sit up front. Do you know why? Because the anointing is heavier up front than it is in back. It's true. It's true. The anointing's better up towards the front than it is in the back. Oh my gosh. I love you guys. I'm so glad we're here. But I mean, when those two ladies came over and laid hands on us and prayed, all they did, they just said, jobs. 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 Jobs and better jobs. Jobs. Man, we had great jobs that week. Well, I mean, we didn't go forward. They didn't lay hands on us. The pastor didn't pray for us, anoint us with oil, tried to, you know, call heaven down on us. It was just an expectation that what they said was going to happen was going to happen. We entered into agreement with them that what they said was going to happen was going to happen. It was our expectation. You know, I told Verna, I said, you know, yeah, because last week, you know, with talking about Job and different things like that, and I said, you know, there's so much more I could have said, but, you know, I'm kind of limited to this 45 to 50 minute time frame. You know, if we could go for an hour and a half, that would be amazing. And she laughed, understandingly. Well, it's been almost an hour. Okay. Psalm 92, 12 and 13. Psalm chapter 92, verses 12 and 13. Do you remember we were talking before Christmas? I was preaching on being right with God, or righteousness, right? Are you righteous or are you a sinner? Righteous. You're righteous.
That's right.
We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. Psalm 92, verses 12 and 13. The righteous. Does that apply to you? Are you the righteous?
Yes.
The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of God. You are the righteous. I am the righteous. What is the heritage of the righteous? To flourish because they're planted in God. Expect to flourish. Expect for things to turn out your way. Man, I'm telling you, we listened. Kathy and I listened when we were on our way out to Tulsa. And I just thought, man, it's Dust Bowl. It's going to be ugly and horrific there. It's going to be a barren waste. It was really pretty. But we were listening to this teaching series on the favor of God. And by the time we got to Tulsa, we had no other expectation than that we would find favor with God and man. And did we? Yes, we did. Everything we did, we found favor. We were chosen for things that you wouldn't be chosen for. Because we weren't planning on staying. We were made prayer leaders. They don't do that for people who are just there for school for 2 years and leaving. But this lady, she saw something and she said, I am supposed to train you as prayer leaders. Man, every month we just seemed to walk in favor. People would just would show favor on us and ever since then, we've been through some stuff. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not fear. Why? Where are you headed? Are you headed to the shadow, to the valley of death? No, you're walking through it. You're just passing through, thank you. You're on your way to the other side. What is your expectation? To go to the other side. Jesus, getting in the boat, said, let us cross over to the other side. Was the expectation was that there was going to be a storm that was going to kill them? No. What happened? They crossed over to the other side. Our father in the faith, Kenneth Hagin, said every time he gets on a plane, would get on a plane or to go somewhere, he'd get on and he'd say, well, we're crossing over to the other side. What was his expectation? To get there. When you get in your car, you're going on vacation, what's your expectation? You're going to get there. When you come to God with a need, what's your expectation? He's got it covered, baby. He's got it covered. He's got you covered. Is it always going to work out exactly the way you thought? No. Is it always going to work out in your time frame? No. Is it always going to work out? Yes. Why? Because he who promised is faithful. If we put our expectations in him, they will be met by him. But we have to put our expectations in him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.